Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Did you sleep on the plane, or did you watch Miami Dolphin footage?
A little of both. I didn't sleep much, so I got to try to catch up here in the next couple of days. But it was a great win. It's much easier to get on those flights after we win. So I'm happy we were to go out there and have a great week of practice, and it really paid off for us.
In spite of it not being a Tom Brady New England Patriot offensive display, you seemed very pleased because another faction of your football team helped win this game, and that would be the defense.
Oh, they played phenomenal. It wasn't easy by any stretch. I thought we played a defense that really, they made it hard on us in a lot of ways. They really challenged us. Anytime you win on the road in the NFL, it's a great win. So I was just ecstatic. You know, we had such a tough loss against Green Bay, and then to follow it up with a great win, a great team win where everybody really contributed. A lot of guys made huge plays. The block punt, the interception, Julian's play, the way the defense played all night. You know, Gronk had some big plays. It was just LeGarrette had some big runs. It was a great win.
It felt, in many ways, Tom, like a game you used to lose, or maybe not lose, but you have a fight to the death. Now with this defense, you can win ugly. And I get the sense that you really appreciate that. You appreciate that as much as anyone, thus the show of emotion out there. Is that right?
Well, I think, they kept us in it the whole night. So, you know, we were struggling. We just couldn't find our rhythm offensively. And defensively, they just kept shutting them down. They just didn't give them any room to breathe. And, we finally made a – Jules really made a big play there in the fourth quarter to get us ahead. And by two scores, it ended up being a – and then defense once again, even just the last drive for the Chargers, they just, they got to go down the field in 2 minutes and score, and we don't even let them get a first down. It was just pretty cool to see.
What happened on the pick with Gronkowski? Was it just an underthrow?
Yeah, the timing of the play got screwed up, and I just, made a dumb decision to try to throw that ball. And it was a bad play. I got to eliminate those. I had a... we just don't need those. So,
Thomas, we watch some of the mighty in the NFL falling. New Orleans, for example, San Francisco. It seems to be underscored that the Patriots have now won 10 or more games for 12 straight years. That is a remarkable run. What does it say about the organization? What does it say about just the way things are done down there at Gillette to win 10 or more games 12 years in a row?
Well, it's obviously a great accomplishment for all those teams individually. They were all had their own identity and so forth. And I think that we've had, we get such great coaching, such great ownership. We get great support from our fans. Even our fans that showed up, last night to the game in San Diego, it almost felt like a home game. I mean, it was crazy. I've never seen it like that on the road. So, between the support from our fans and the preparation of our coaches, we got a lot of selfless players that come to work every day and work really hard to do the right thing, put ourselves in good position. And you're not going to win every game. You just got to win. The percentages have to be in your favor. And I think that our team has always found ways to win, whether it's, games where we score 50 points, games where we score 10 points. Special teams has always been a huge part of our team. Defensively, we're playing great this year. And offensively, we've had a few games where we really played exceptional. And we're going to need to do that here, especially this week against Miami.
So, obviously, the New England fans' presence out there was noticeable to you. When did you realize there were a bunch of New England Patriot fans there? And does it help in any way, shape, or form?
You know what? I ran out for pregame warm-ups, and everyone was going crazy. And I couldn't believe it. I was, and with all the fans were right behind our bench, just throughout the game, we would make big plays on either defense or offense, and the crowd would just be going crazy. So it was the way our fans supported us and traveled out there to make that trip, and it was really neat. It was pretty cool to see. I don't think I've never seen anything like that.
As you know, Tom, everybody around here, hell, everyone in the country, watches every move you make on the sideline, in the huddle. Every emotional outburst you have was broken down and analyzed. Hell, we're watching one right now on ESPN. Mm. I want to know, has anyone, your mother, your wife, anyone ever said, you go too far, Tom, you have to calm down out there?
It's the only place I get a chance to do it, so I think... You know, it is. It's such an emotional game, and I think you got to bring it every week. That's what you got to do. And I think we, especially when you're making good plays like our guys were making last night, it makes it pretty easy to get excited about them. And it's just, they're always trying to raise everybody's level of awareness, raise their level of play, so that you can go out there and be as consistent as you possibly can. So, I've always played that way, and I probably will for them. Day I hang these cleats up.
Do you think that helps raise the level of play of, say a Brian Stork? Does it raise his level of intensity, his level of play when you bring the emotion?
I can't imagine it hurts. So I think, there's different guys that react differently. And I've always had a lot of players that respond. Julian and Brent LaFell and Danny, and they always do too. Gronk does. That's the way it is in practice. The pressure's always on. I think that's what, that's how you really make the improvements, how you get better every day, is that you just, the pressure's there to get better or you get worse. And I think our team has always found ways to get better. So we're just going to keep grinding away. We certainly, by no means have we reached the finish line. We're, closer to our goals, but we still got, some tough battles. Really tough test ahead. Playing this week, obviously, for a division championship would be huge. So, we got to go out there and we got to try to accomplish it.
Last week we asked you about a stupid Boston Globe story that said you had lost the Green Bay game on purpose. You were hiding it. We got another stupid one from after you were on with us last week. The Globe editorial named you the poor sport of the week for using the F word a couple of times on camera. We saw you do it again last night. Would you care to apologize to the editorial board of the Boston Globe for swearing during a football game?
Oh, man. Well, it's just not my, I wish I did have a better mouth out there at times, but there's nothing I quite express the way I feel like that word. So.
It is a great word.
Yeah, it is. It is, especially in the heat of the moment. So
you're not allowed to say it at home, are you?
No, I don't say it at home. Of course not. No, it's pretty well filtered at the house, but. Blame CBS and NBC for putting it on TV. Don't blame me.
It just makes me laugh, Tom. I said this earlier. This is a game where guys, they lay their lives literally on the line. You saw the Browner hit. It's a violent, brutal, barbaric game, and they expect you to watch your mouth in the middle of it. It just seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're not choir boys. I know that. So you bring a certain level of intensity to the game, and it's not, your job's to go out there and physically, emotionally, mentally dominate the game. So, you don't do that at church on Sunday. You got to go to the football field for that.
I know this isn't in your domain. You don't play defense. But when you look at that call, and I don't know whether you saw the film on the plane last night, Brandon Browner's penalty, do you feel for the guys who are trying to play defense in this league? And if you look at somebody cross-eyed, they're suddenly a defenseless receiver, and it's a head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet contact, when in fact it wasn't at all.
Yeah, man, it was a big play in the game too, and a touchdown basically got nullified. Mm-hmm. So it's just there's just so much there's so much attention on those types of plays right now. There should be, because nobody wants to be the victim of a hit like that, and truthfully the players really look out for one another also, and at the same time it is the nature of the sport is a physical sport, and it was a great hit, great interception, great return that got nullified. So it's just it's frustrating when they get it wrong, at the same time, they get other calls wrong in the game too. That possibly benefit us. Hopefully, it all ends up evening out in the end.
Doesn't when you see what's going on in the league, though, and there's obviously so slanted against defenders, it does make you appreciate, I would guess, what Revis is able to do, right? I mean, the guy, again, last night, completely shuts down Allen. They don't even look at him in the first half. To see Revis do this week in, week out, especially now in such a passing league, I think makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's you know, he's phenomenal. I see it every day in practice. You know, to go up against him in training camp, it's just there's never an easy play. I mean, I played against him every year for however many years he was with the Jets, and then obviously when he was with Tampa, we played against him. So I know what he brings to the table. He's a shutdown corner in every sense of the word. So. Along with that, there's a lot of other guys on defense that are shutting other guys down too. So, but Terrell is just a phenomenal player, and he doesn't practice. A great example, great leader. You know, he's just been a great addition to our team.
Hey, you're big favorites this week at home against the Dolphins. In the next couple of games, we think you know there's a good chance you can run the table here. But we're going to hear this. It's division game. Division games are tough. Division games. What makes a division game so tough? Why is a division game tougher than, say, a game against, I don't know, San Diego?
Bears.
Or the Bears or the Lions?
Well, I just think the depth of information and knowledge that you have of your opponent. So you game plan twice a year against them, and, you know, you're always trying to find different ways. I don't know, maybe like a boxer that, you know, keeps fighting the same opponent. You know, you gain confidence in certain things at work, and you know, those games always ebb and flow. And you know, I don't think the Dolphins are scared of playing us. They beat us the first time we played them. So you know, they'll come in with confidence, knowing that if they play the way they think they're capable, they can win. You know, and vice versa for us. We feel like if we play the way we're capable, we can win. It's just a different... It's just the knowledge of the teams goes, not only this year, but last year, the year before that, especially teams that have a lot of carryover with the coaching staff and players. And, you know, it's just hard to beat a team twice. And certainly in the divisions where you play them twice every year, it gets tough to beat them every year. So, you know, it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge playing against a team that, you know, they got phenomenal defense. I got started on the flight home, so it'll be a good week of preparation. And then, like I said, this is what you know, these are why you play for games like this. And you know, to go out there and play at our very best would be you know, very gratifying for all of us.
Well, in December, we know your record; it's unbelievable. I think 46-7. Why? What? How do you explain that? Do you think, Tom, that some teams that are out of the race maybe they're playing for next year? In some ways, they're not bringing, you know, maybe they're giving up. Do you ever play teams in December and feel like you're not getting their best?
I've never felt that another team has played less than, you know, what they're, you know, what they supposedly play in as professional athletes. There's no one that's just throwing in a towel. You know, not in all the years I've played. So I don't know why that is. I mean, I think we've had a pretty good record in December. Obviously, I think pretty good November, too. It's, you know, once we kind of study our opponents, we get a pretty good idea. I think that may be part of it. You know, our game plan, we had the best coaches in the league. So I think having, you know, the type of game planning that we do is, you know, is phenomenal, I think. You know, the extra work and practice that we do on a daily basis pays off this time of year where, you know, some people may just show up to work kind of punching the time card. I think we always do a good job going out there trying to get something done and make improvements and get better. So that's, you know, that's how you can separate yourself as the season goes because, you know, there's a lot of things that play into winning and losing, and it's not on an individual game basis. It's, you know, what you do over the course of the season. So that's why in September when you lose a game, yeah, you know, you hate to lose, but you realize there's a lot of football ahead and every game gets more important as we go. And, you know, as is this week, is the most important game of our season and we're going to have to go out there and play like it.
Hey, Tom, by my count, you've been on the road for 10 days, which means you've had 10 days of quality sleep. You'll be in your own bed tonight with the kids jumping around. Is your sleep now going to be compromised going forward?
It was. It certainly won't be as quality as it was in San Diego, I'll tell you that. It will be, but there's nothing I'd rather have. So it will be, it's my son's birthday today. He turned 5. So
wow.
We're going to have a nice celebration for him. It happens, as you guys know, as parents, it goes fast.
So, yeah.
We're very grateful.
What'd you get him, like a pony or something? What does Tom Brady get his kid at 5?
You know, he loves dragons. So I'm telling you, we were dragons for Halloween, and he's still on the dragon kick. So these little dragon toys from out of Trinity Dragon that he just carries around the house all day and sleeps with them in his bed. So there'll be more of those than his party today.
All right, quarterback question of the week. We'll get you out of here with this. Brought to you by your New England Cadillac dealers. Visit NewEnglandCadillac.com for your exceptional offers. With whom do you sit on the plane, Tom? And are there rules for your companion to keep his mouth shut, not to talk, to talk? How does that work?
I sit kind of where I've always sat, toward the back, where most of the veteran players sit. So sometimes it's different from week to week, but you know, most of us have our own few seats to kind of relax in, especially on long trips. But you know, most of the veterans, it usually goes by seniority where you get to sit. The rookies usually sit close to the front, and all the veterans in the back. So. Yeah, it ends up being you get a lot of camaraderie built with a lot of guys over the years, and there's nothing more gratifying than getting together on the bus and on the plane after a win. So it makes it all worth it, because that feeling that we get, you can't get anywhere else in your life, and it's pretty special to share it with a bunch of guys you really love being with.
All right, so I take it you sit by yourself because of seniority and all that. So what if a rookie, what if Easley, as an example, comes to the back of the plane and plops down next to you and says, "Hey, Tom, how's it going? What do you want to talk about?" How does that work? Do you get spoken to?
Oh, you send his ass right back to the front where he belongs. That you do.
All right, Tom, welcome home. Great road trip, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.